Welcome, everybody, and thank you for coming out to Grace Community Church Wednesday night service. My name is Wade, and I'm glad you're here, or if you're tuning in online, thank you for watching. Let me go ahead and pray, and we'll get right into it tonight. Father, I just thank you for another opportunity to get up here and share your word, Lord. Share what you put on my heart to preach tonight. I just pray that you would take control of it, Lord, and that everything I say is from you. And not my own opinion, Lord, but straight out of your word. Lord, I just pray for all the people that are out sick right now. There's a bunch of people that are sick. I just pray for each and every one of them, whether they're sick from COVID or the flu or whatever, or recovering from surgeries. Lord, I just pray that you'd comfort them and be with them. Father, I just pray that you'll bless your word, open our hearts and our minds to receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, so I hope everybody's having a good week. If you were here last week, we talked about setting some goals for ourselves and how that it really lifts our spirits when we have something to work towards. You know, if we have something to actually work towards and complete and get things done, it helps us feel better. I was actually just talking to Dale a minute ago about when we don't have anything to do, we just don't know what to do. And we read in Proverbs 13:12 last week how the Bible says when we do accomplish something and get something done, it's a tree of life, you know, when we accomplish something. So I hope all of you are focusing on something good this week and doing something good this week and seeing how much better you feel when you're actively seeking, you know, something good and doing something good. We also talked about on the negative side, you know, if that's all we do is focus on the negative and what's wrong and what we don't have, the same verse says, you know, hope deferred makes our heart sick. It makes our heart sick, and that makes everything else sick. That leads to depression in our, you know, in our mind and our soul and our body. And so we have to guard our hearts above all else, the Bible says, because that affects everything else in our lives. And we read that in Proverbs 4:23 last week, if you didn't have those wrote down. So that's one good way to guard our heart, is to have little goals for ourselves. And when we accomplish them, you know, it lifts us up. So I hope you did set some good goals last week, and I hope you're working towards them and away from the negativity that we find so easy in our lives if we focus on that. That got me thinking, you know, I listened to a series here a while back by Levi Lusco. It's called You in the Next 5 Years, and he was talking about keystone habits, just little habits that you form in your everyday life, and it helps you start your day out on a positive note, and it keeps you in that all throughout the day. One of them is making your bed. You know, I've gotten the habit of making my bed years ago, and now I can't leave the house without making my bed. And it makes you feel good to accomplish something, you know, before you even leave the house. Another thing that I noticed in my own personal life is I don't like to have to get up first thing in the morning and make coffee. If I get it ready the night before and all I have to do is get up and my coffee's already ready, you know, I'm glad I did that the night before. I don't always feel like doing that the night before. A lot of times I'm tired and I just want to go to bed and I don't feel like doing it, but I make myself do it. And I'm always glad in the morning, no matter how I felt that night, I'm glad in the morning that I did it last night because it's already done when I get up in the morning. Just little things like that, they're called keystone habits, and that it really does make a big difference in your day. I looked up the definition for keystone habits, and it actually says it's things you'll be glad you did later. It says habits that produce a ripple effect. One positive change creates the potential to produce other positive changes in all parts of someone's routine. So just little habits like that you can get into your everyday routine really help you out. They really help me out. You know, it helps you start the morning out on a good note. This week, God gave me an answer real quick last week before I even got down off the stage last week, what he wanted me to preach on tonight. And he wanted me to talk about a personal relationship with Jesus. And this is something that I dealt with really heavy and when I first started trying to get to God, you know, and change my life. So all week long, God's been confirming that to me too. Every message I've listened to, almost every conversation I've had, everything that's came up in my personal life and the personal life of other people all week long has been pointing back to this one thing, that, you know, our personal relationship with Jesus. Even the devotions I've read this week were talking about that. And everywhere I was reading in the Bible pointed to a personal relationship with Jesus too. And I really do hope that millions of people get to watch this message. I know they won't today, but I'm saying over time and online or whatever, I just pray that a lot of people get to watch this. And if you're watching it right now, I pray that you'll pay attention and not just let it be another sermon that you heard. Because it really changed my life. And I think a lot of people are in the same boat that I was in. I think they're right where I was, and this will change your life if you let it. This is not something anybody told me, and I didn't learn this. This is what I experienced, you know, on my journey to get closer to God. And, you know, when God started dealing with me a few years ago and showing me how sinful my life was, and, you know, revealed to me that I wasn't in a right standing with him, it's like he, for the first time, opened my eyes and I could see that I wasn't good with God and how sinful I really was and how bad I needed to get things right with God. And to be honest with you, when I finally realized that and realized, you know, how fast I was on a path to straight to hell, it scared me, you know, because nobody wants to go to hell. So it really got my attention, because I had never stopped and actually looked at my life before and realized what a sinful life I was living. So when I realized that, it really did. It scared me. And I wanted to get my life right with God, but I didn't know where to start. So what I did was I started going to church, the first thing. Then I started reading my Bible. I started talking to church people, and I started just going to classes to try and learn more about the Bible. I started trying to quit doing what I could at home, you know, trying to quit drinking and trying to read my Bible at home. I started going to Celebrate Recovery to get help. I was going through a 12-step study. I was checking into rehab after rehab. I was just doing everything I could think of to get closer to God, because I finally realized that, you know, I wasn't where I needed to be with God. And I didn't know what else to do except go to church and go to all these classes and stuff and get around church people. So I started spending every minute I could at church and trying to be a better person. I was giving it everything I had, or I thought I was anyway. And after about 3 years of that, I wound up in the most miserable shape I'd ever been in my life. You know, during that time, I lost my wife, I lost my home, I had abandoned the church, I quit even coming around the church, I lost every friendship I ever had, I lost everything that I owned, I just left it all behind, and I wound up homeless. And I was in North Carolina homeless, and I was drinking more than I ever had. I was in the worst shape that I had ever been in my life, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, anything you can think of. That was the worst shape I had ever been in. And I got in that shape because I thought I was chasing God. I was trying to get to God. And I was near death a bunch of times because of it. And the more aware I became of how simple I was, the more hopeless I got, the more hopeless I felt. I just felt like I was a million miles away from God, and I was unredeemable. I thought there was no saving me. But somehow God got me back to Tennessee and got me back here to Grace Community Church. And that's when I checked into Renovatus program. And this is when things started changing. I was seeking God all the wrong ways. And I remember the very first day that I had a conversation with Jesus. I can remember I was in a field of okra, and I was cutting okra that day. And I just started talking to him because I'd been trying everything else. I was trying going to church. I was trying the classes. I was trying everything. So that day I was just talking to Jesus. And always before that, you know, I would pray to God. But it was like I was praying to a faceless, distant God that was way off in space somewhere that I couldn't see, I couldn't feel, you know, just a distant God. And he was always silent. He never answered me. He was just the God I read about all the time, but I didn't know him. He was the judge that I would read about, the God whose wrath I'm going to have to face one of these days. But this time, for some reason, I just started talking to Jesus. And I told him what I was doing, what I was going through. I was like, I don't know what you want me to do. You know, I want to quit drinking. I want to be a better person. I want to do what I'm supposed to do. But none of this stuff is working. You know, I told him, I said, I've read the Bible. I've devoted myself to church. And he just stopped me right there. And that's when I realized, you know, I devoted my life to church. I devoted my life to classes. I devoted my life to reading. I devoted my life to all these things, but I had never got saved. I never realized that I needed a Savior. So that was the day I got saved. That's when I realized I needed Jesus to save me. I needed him as my Lord. He is my Savior. He is my sacrifice. So I surrendered myself right then and there to Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. And that's when he started talking to me. I'd been trying to surrender my life to a God that I didn't even know and I didn't understand, or surrender to, you know, the rules at church or the rules that I would read in the Bible. It was all just a mystery to me. I was doing the best I could, but nothing was working. And the more I read about it, the more condemned I felt. And then Jesus started opening my eyes to the scriptures that I'd read hundreds of times. I mean, I read my Bible constantly, trying to find redemption, and I couldn't find it because I was looking in the wrong place. And that's what the Jewish people were doing when Jesus came. You know, they were searching the scriptures and they were trying to get their way to God. They were trying to be godly people, but they didn't. They were like me. They were blinded to see that they needed that personal relationship with Jesus. And in John 5, that's what Jesus tells them. He says, you're searching the scriptures for me. In John 5, verses 39 and 40, he said, that's what we're doing. We search the scriptures, for in them we think we have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. As many times as I read the Bible, I didn't get it. It didn't make enough sense to me to figure out that all these verses, all these scriptures that I'm reading are pointing us to Jesus. And in verse 40, it says, and you will not come to me that you might have eternal life. I was trying everything else, going all the way around Jesus. I was at church all the time, in the Bible all the time, in class all the time. But I had never surrendered to Jesus. And Jesus Christ is our redemption. We can't get to God without him. And this is what I'm trying to tell you tonight. I think the world is full of people that are trying to get to God, just like I was, and just like the Pharisees and the Jewish people were back then. They're trying to get to God. It's not like they're trying to run from God. They're just going about it the wrong way, like I was. I was trying so hard to surrender my life to God, but we can't do that. We have to surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. He is our sacrifice. We can't get to the Father without Jesus. In the book of John, chapter 14, in verse 6, Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." And I had read that over and over and over, but it never sank in. And I think that's where a lot of people are right now. They're seeking God, but they don't understand you have to go through Jesus to get to God. And the more I read the Bible, like I told you a minute ago, the more condemned I felt, because I didn't have the Holy Spirit. I couldn't understand it. And that's exactly what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. All these verses and all this scripture is spiritual, and we don't understand it. It says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." That's why the more I read the Bible, the more confused and the more condemned I felt. Without the Holy Spirit, I just couldn't understand it. And, you know, when we surrender to Jesus and we receive the Holy Spirit, it says that the veil is taken away, and then we can understand the scriptures. And you can read that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. This is where I was, and this is where the people of Israel, you know, the Jewish people, that's where their minds were. And I think that's where a lot of people are today. They're seeking God, but their minds are hardened to this day. Whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds. In verse 15, it says, "So they cannot understand the truth, and this veil can be removed only by believing in Christ." Yes, even today, when they read Moses' writings, their hearts are covered with that veil, and they do not understand. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, when you give your life to Christ and accept him as your Savior, you receive the Holy Spirit. The veil is taken away, it says in verse 16. "For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. So the more I chased God, the more I read, the more I've tried to earn what I was trying to get to, it just confused me even more and made me feel even more condemned, because I hadn't surrendered to Christ and I hadn't received the Holy Spirit, so I couldn't understand any of this stuff. But once I surrendered to Christ that day, every time I read the Bible now, it makes sense. It speaks to me. It's like I'm reading it with Jesus. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit here. I was doing the same thing that the Jewish people were doing, trying to get to God without Jesus, like we just read there a few minutes ago. We have to go through Jesus. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, it says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." There's one sacrifice that gets us to God, and we try to live and be good enough to where we are our own sacrifice, and we can't do that. He is our sacrifice, and we can't approach God without that. He is a just God, and he can't accept us without Jesus. He's the only perfect sacrifice there was to offer. So I believe the world, like I said, is full of people who really do want to make things right with God, but they just don't understand the only way to God is through Jesus. Just like the Jews, they thought it was blasphemy. And, you know, when Jesus was here 2,000 years ago, they thought it was blasphemy and disrespectful to God to give glory or worship to anyone but God. And they didn't believe that he was the Christ, that he was the Messiah. And I think that's how a lot of us are. We can't see that is the gospel. God sent his Son to be our sacrifice for us so we can get to him. We have to believe in Jesus, that he is the Messiah, or we will die in our sins. It says that in John chapter 8 and verse 24. Jesus himself said that. He said, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. If we don't believe that he is the Messiah, and he is our Savior, and he is our sacrifice, and we don't surrender our life to him, he says we can't get to God any other way. We'll die in our sins. And Satan has people convinced all over the world that it's disrespectful to God to put our faith in Jesus. Or he has them convinced that, like I was trying to do, that we can go to church and we can be good enough, live a good enough life to please God. And we can't. He has the people blinded to the fact that God is the one who sent Jesus. And that he is the only way that we can be saved. You know, the most famous verse that's quoted all the time, I think the most famous verse ever, it tells you right there that God is the one who sent him. In John 3:16, it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The gospel's so simple, I think people just skip right over it. And they we have a hard time emphasizing you have to have Jesus first. You cannot get to God without him. And that's what it says in verse 18. We quote John 3:16 all the time, but in John 3:18, it tells us, unless we believe that we in Jesus, that we're condemned already. It says, he that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So our faith has to begin with Jesus. I know a lot of y'all heard the same thing I did growing up or before you came to Christ. You know, you need to straighten up and go to church. You need to get it together and start living a good life and then go to God. You cannot do that. You can't straighten your life up by yourself, and you can't get to God by straightening yourself up. No matter how hard you try to be good, you cannot be good enough. We have to have Jesus, and our faith has to begin with Jesus. If it don't begin with Jesus, you'll be just like I was, and you'll get more and more frustrated in your pursuit of God, and you'll get further from him all the time. And you'll wind up angry and religious, just like the Pharisees. You know, we give the Pharisees a hard time all the time. And they were real in their pursuit of God. They were seriously trying to get to God. They just didn't believe in Jesus. And they didn't believe that he was the sacrifice that came to get them to God. And I think we are so busy, a lot of us, trying to get to God, trying to live a better life, that we overlook the fact that we have to surrender our lives to Jesus. He is our sacrifice. And without that, we'll never get to God. I think there's people that have been in church their whole life that have never gotten anywhere any closer to God. They're actually further from God because they think that they're saved when they're really not. And once you realize that Jesus is the only way to God and he's our sacrifice, then you realize that he is an actual person. He is the Son of God. Jesus is a person. Then everything changes. You know, he's not just an idea that we learn about in church. He's not just a method to live by. He's not a teaching on how to be a better person. He is an actual person. And when we understand that, the Bible comes to life. It's actually Jesus talking to us. It's not just a book talking about Jesus. It's the other way around. I think that's why John started his gospel the way that he did. He wanted people to understand that Jesus was God, and Jesus was the Word of God, and Jesus was everything that we needed. In John 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Bible. We try to, you know, we're searching the Scriptures, trying to find our way to God. when all this does is point us to Jesus. Jesus is the Word. He is the Bible. He is God. And when we realize that, the Bible takes on a whole new meaning. It's like Jesus himself is talking to you. It's like you're talking with Jesus and he's telling you what he says about stuff. Like, for example, on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 and 44, this is Jesus talking. He said, "You've heard it said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Jesus is telling us, you know, I know that's what you've heard your whole life, but he wants us to realize, I am God. I am the one you're searching for. And I say to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. He says, I'm telling you myself. And when you read the Bible that way, that it is Jesus talking to you, then it really does take on a whole new meaning. You're not searching for the what does this mean and stuff. It's Jesus telling you what he actually says. And once you surrender to Jesus and he is your Lord, you don't go around asking people's opinions about things. I was bad about that. I would go to every person I knew that went to church that I thought, you know, were religious, and I would ask him, what do I do about this? What do I do about this? But once you realize that Jesus is speaking to you through this with his Holy Spirit, he tells you what he thinks about it, and he gives you the truth about things. He tells you what is right and wrong, and you don't have to go around debating it. What it says, you believe it, because that's what Jesus said. In John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." He was telling the people that believed on him, just believe what I'm telling you. Believe my words are the truth, and you will be free. You won't be arguing anymore about what's right and wrong, and you'll know my words are the truth, and you'll be free from all this doubting and debating and arguing amongst yourselves about what's right and wrong. His word becomes the ultimate truth, and you don't argue about it. And it removes all doubt about what's right and what's wrong. God's word is the referee. And that's all through the Bible. It becomes Jesus talking to you. Like, for example, you heard it quoted all the time in Romans 8:28. It says, you know, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. But if you'll read that in the context we're talking about, that's Jesus telling you. He's saying, I know things are hard right now, but if you love me, trust me and believe that I love you too. And this is all going to work out for your good. I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. I'm right here. And when we start reading those verses like that, you know, that's Jesus himself telling you, this is going to work out for your good. If you love me, keep my commandments, he says. If you love me, do what I said. Believe my words are truth. Then all this is going to work out. So we have to believe that Jesus is who he says he is and live our lives surrendered to him, and the Bible comes alive to you. And once you realize that Jesus is a person and you surrender to him, you don't spend your life in pursuit of him. You spend your life with him. You don't cry out to him hoping he's going to show up and help you through a hard time. When you're going through a hard time, you know he's already there. He's going through the hard time with you. You're not alone. And you'll never feel alone again. I tell you all the time, I live by myself. And I never get lonely. I know Jesus is always with me. And he never leaves you. He never forsakes you, no matter how bad things get. I was talking to somebody just a few minutes ago, and they were saying, you know, even in the dark times now, I can see the light working on it. And I know it's temporary. It's going to go away because God's working on it. when before, you know, all you could see is the darkness. Now when you're going through a hard time, you know Jesus is right there with you. And this is just a temporary thing. It will go away. One of my devotions that I read this week said something that I really liked, and I wanted to share that with you. It said, if you got your faith in anything else but God, you know, your bank account or somebody else or whatever that might be, if your faith is in anything else but Jesus, he could get up and walk out of the room and you wouldn't even notice. You wouldn't even know he was gone. You know, if whatever you've got faith in, say it's your bank book. If your bank book is still there and you still got money in the bank, God could get up and walk out of the room and you wouldn't even know he had left until things went bad, until your bank account was empty. And then, you know, who are you going to go looking for? Then you go looking for God. But when he is your God and you're surrendered to him and he is number one and that's what your faith is in, then he's always with you. You don't have to go looking for him when something goes bad because he's right there. And the first thing you do, if your faith is in your bank account, when something goes wrong, you check it and see how much money's in it. And you get scared that that's not going to be enough for whatever your faith is in. That's not going to be enough. It's not going to be sufficient. But if your faith is in Jesus and that he's with you, he's always enough. He'll never let you down. He is our provider. He is our comforter. And he'll never leave us. And he never changes. No matter what our circumstances are, he's stable. He does not change. You know, it says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. You know, like I told you to start with, I tried putting my faith in the church. And we should be committed to our church. And we should do all we can for our church. But our faith can't be in the church. The church is a group of people who have faith in Jesus. We are the church. You know, our faith has to be in Jesus Christ himself. He is the foundation of our faith. We all individually have faith in Christ. And when we gather together, we form the church. We are the church of Christ. You know, coming here, you can't put your faith in coming here. You have to put your faith in Christ. And all of us gathering together in Jesus' name with like faith, we are the church of Christ. And just like Jesus never changes, that we're reading right there, we are constantly changing. So we can't have faith in somebody. We can't have faith in ourselves. We are constantly changing, and our circumstances are constantly changing. We should love one another like Jesus commands us to, and we should be there for one another and help one another and encourage one another. But our faith can't be in people, and it can't be in things. It has to be in Jesus himself. It has to begin with Jesus. You know, all the programs and the classes are great, and that's how we grow in Christ together. We should do those things, and we do those things. We've got some new classes starting up here in the next couple of weeks. And that's how we grow together and learn more about Jesus. And that's how we introduce lost people to Christ. But we can't put our faith in those things. Our faith has to begin and remain in Jesus Christ. You know, I thought just going through the motions and going to church and reading my Bible and going to classes and all that stuff was going to change my life. And, you know, like I told you a while ago, when it didn't change my life, I was crushed. And I had put my faith in what was my rewards going to be for obedience. And there are rewards for being obedient to God. But, you know, my way of thinking was perverted. I thought I could be saved by good works. I thought I could be rewarded with salvation for becoming a good person and, you know, doing all those things. But we can't be saved by works. The Bible says we're saved by faith in Jesus Christ, not by works, that, you know, lest any man should boast. Our faith has to be in him. We only get saved and we only receive that new life we're looking for by faith in Jesus. And the Bible says, and it's plain as day, and I read it a million times, but I skipped right over it. It says, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, Romans 10:13 says that. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I told you a while ago, I would be going through just really hard things, and I would get on my knees, and I would pray to God, and I would pray to God, and I would pray to God. But it don't say that. It says, who shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The name of the Lord is Jesus Christ. And that's who we have to put our faith in. And I believe there are people all over the earth that are crying out to God, but the name of the Lord is Jesus Christ. We have to call out his name. And I think the church today, not just here at Grace, but worldwide, is not presenting the gospel the way that it should. You know, we tell people all the time, you need to get to God. You need to turn your life over to God. But we need to tell them the true gospel is you have to go through Jesus Christ to get there. You know, he is the gospel. We have to go through Jesus Christ. He is the only way. You know, we just read in 1 Timothy chapter 2 a while ago. In verse 5, it says, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. And in the book of Acts, chapter 4, and verse 12, you know, it says that again. It says, there is salvation in no other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And we read just a few minutes ago in John chapter 14, and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So if you're listening to this message and you're like I was and you're seeking God with everything you have and doing everything you know to do, but you just can't seem to get there, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will meet you. He will hear you, and he will answer you. He is the Lord. And he will save you. But he is the only way to salvation and a new life. And he is a person. He's not an idea. He's not a, you know, a way of life. He's none of those things. And he's all those things. But he is a person. And he is our sacrifice and our salvation. I really hope that grabs somebody tonight. And I hope that helps you find your way to God. If you're like me and you were trying everything else but you never surrendered to Christ, I pray that you'll do that tonight. And if you've never done that, I want to share with you how to do that. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. And you don't have to be at church to do this. You don't have to be with a preacher. You don't have to be anywhere. All you have to do is what these two verses right here tell you to do. And Jesus Christ will come into your heart and he will save you and you will receive the Holy Spirit. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So, if you're trying really hard to get to God and you're doing everything you know to do and nothing's working out, surrender your life to Christ. Make him Lord of your life and he will place his Holy Spirit within you and save you. And all these verses that you're reading, all the studying that you're doing, all those things will start making sense and your life will change. And it don't take long. You'll see an immediate difference in the way you understand things, in the way that you act. He completely redoes your spirit. As soon as you receive him, you become a new creature. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. It says, those that are in Christ are a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things become new. But you have to go through Jesus Christ. You can't get to God on your own works, or on your own goodness. And I believe that's what a lot of people are trying to do. I know that's what I had tried to do for a long time. And just like the coffee I was talking about at the beginning, you know, the keystone habits of things that you'll, if you do them now, you'll be really glad that you did them later. One day we're all going to stand before God. You know, we'll either be at the great white throne judgment or we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ. If you surrender your life to Christ now, you will be glad you did later when the time comes to stand before God or stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. So if you haven't surrendered your life to Christ, I would urge you to do that. Romans 10 verses 9 and 10. Like I said, you don't have to be with anybody to do that. You can do that all by yourself. I was all by myself when I did that. But if you're trying to get to God and you're having a hard time getting there, call upon the name of the Lord, it says in Romans 10:13, and you will be saved. But that's all I've got for us tonight. I really do hope that gets somebody where they're trying to get, and I pray that that helps you. It really did help me, and that's how I wound up being saved. I didn't realize there was only one way to God. But thank you for letting me share. Thank you all for coming out, and thank you for tuning in. Let me pray for us, and we will be dismissed. Father, I just thank you for the truth that you spoke through me tonight, and I pray that that really helps somebody, Lord. I pray that it'll give them the courage to call upon your name, Lord, and be saved, and start their journey on the new life that I know you'll give them, just like you did me. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your long-suffering, Lord. I think of all the years and the things that I did, and all the years you were so long-suffering with me. And I just thank you that you're that long-suffering with all of us. We just thank you for your mercy, for your love, and your grace. And we just thank you, Lord, for the salvation that you offer us so freely. And we just give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.